Another random Saturday, another random time, another random show. How about it, buddy?
Well, thank you, man. I'm already blessed. I feel good. It's Saturday. Out of your Falcon mind. Let's do it.
Welcome in, folks. It is episode 169 of Out of Your Falcon Mind, an Atlanta Falcons fan cast. My name is John, your host, as always, joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Cottrell. Buddy, like you said, man, it's Saturday. How you feeling today, man?
I'm always feeling good. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta. The sun is out. It feels great outside. I always love the weekend, man. It just feels good. I got a coffee going, some water going. It's Out of Your Falcon Mind going. I got my brother, Johnny Yates, here. I mean, what can go wrong?
Nothing, buddy. I tell you, this is probably going to be a really relaxed, laid back, not a very structured show today because, number one, it's 5 days from the draft. So there's not been exactly just a ton of new news going on, but we had to talk. We haven't had a chance to really talk about it in the last couple weeks because, you know, since we had Dave on, shout out to Dave for Talkaholic coming through on our last show and having a great show with us. If y'all missed that one, go back and check it out. But, you know, we just wanted to come in and just chat a little bit, man. And we reached out to some friends, you know, and our buddy JR here from Pound for Pound is going to join us. So, you know, he had no warning I was about to bring him on, but there he is. JR, what's going on, buddy?
Good thing I went over here just like digging for gold.
I was waiting for the perfect. I look at this guy.
I catch you off guard, man.
Yeah, that would have been
great. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, you know, not too bad. It's like I said, it's a Saturday. Weather's kind of nice and feels great outside. And as you stated, we're 5 days away from the draft. Like this, we're bringing that plane on in, you know?
JR has a framed Matt Ryan jersey. Like, it looks so neat and crisp. Every time we get him on the show, I'm just looking behind him. I don't hear anything he say. I'm just looking behind him, and that thing look amazing. I love it, buddy.
I got to get my Julio one back up. I put this neon football, but I think it's too close. Mm-hmm. Like John's got the neon Falcon behind him. So I kind of took a cue there, and I was like, oh, I'll try some neon something or another. Like, I don't know. I think I need to put my Julio.
Oh, mine is too bright. So I paid. I don't even want to tell you how much I paid for this, and I can't even use it because if I turn it on, it's so bright that you can't even
read.
Yeah, that's kind of what this is. Yeah. Like if I actually turn this thing on like full blast, like you can't tell it's a football.
Yep, same here. So only Johnny Yates. I don't know. Johnny Yates is just a cool guy. His neon is only neon.
All things come up roses when you're John Yates.
I'm telling you, Johnny Yates, man. Don't miss.
Yeah, well, I got to tell y'all, man. I was telling JR before, I'm severely lacking on sleep this week. So it's been a rough one. And this morning, you know, we were up. Liam had to be at the field at 7:30. So we were up 6:15, 6:30, you know, and so – I wrote down, or I, you know, I have my show sheet here, and I was like, you know, I have like intro, and I have like what's coming up on the show. It's blank after that, so I didn't put a damn thing. Now I knew what to put, but I just didn't type it in there. So that's So when I say it's gonna be laid back and just chill, I mean it. You know, we're basically going off the cuff. We have some stuff to talk about, but you know, it's gonna be kind of off the cuff. Before we get started, though, man, if y'all are new to the channel, welcome in, man. Hope you stick around, enjoy the content, come back to us on our regular days, which is typically. Can be Tuesday, Thursday, or Sunday. During the season, we do a preview and a recap show for those games during the week. JR is always on with Pound for Pound ATL, him and Jonathan. Every Tuesday, y'all can catch them seven p.m. And then anytime, you know, they may put out video, stuff like that. We got a plug since we just dropped him at 3 o'clock. Us and JR and the list of content creators for the Falcons.
A whole slew of folks.
Yeah, I can't even – I'm not – one of them right here in the chat, Mr. Chris. A1 forever. That hashtag Rise Up content creator. So y'all can check that out, man. We basically went through, and it was Big Low's idea. Shout out to Big Low for
coming up with it. For sure.
You know, we basically just do like a little 4 to 5 minute. We give our pitch for just somebody we want to take in the draft. Like it's our pitch to the Falcons or to Raheem or to Terry or whatever. And it can be the first pick. I think most of y'all did the first pick.
Yeah, I think y'all were the only ones that branched out.
We did the second round pick, but I was passionate about that second round pick.
Yeah, yeah. Look, looking back on it, I should have went with just like a passion player. You know, I should have made a case for Jonah Ellis or Luke McCaffrey.
Hey, there you go. One of those guys. I'm down with either one of those guys. But yeah, so. But anyway, we just dropped those. Go check them out. Hit up all the guys. And if you use the hashtag Rise Up Content Creators, you should be able to find everybody's. And we did some creative stuff with it, you know, and just kind of had some fun with it. So a good way to kind of just help everybody find more content. Like if you don't already have enough Falcons content, you got plenty of it to go to. So like I said, just check those guys out. And another one, Larry in the chat, man, Luke Dixon Way.
Hey,
check it. Yeah, man, check out Larry's as well. And if y'all haven't seen the Dixon Way, he'll be doing the Braves game here later on this evening. Follow along, man. They do fantastic Braves games, Hawks games, Falcons games. If y'all want to follow along and watch him and his wife get after it. So, anyway, boys. So, what's up, Liam?
Liam, buddy,
chilling. He pitched good today, man. That's gonna be our first. I mean, our first topic is what's new with you guys. So I mean, like, what's new with us? Like I said, we got up early for baseball. Liam pitched 4 innings today, no earned runs, did really well. Got a double stolen from him by home plate ump. And
Joker,
I'm telling, dude, it was unreal. There was a runner on first, all right, and it was a tying run too, by the way. Smashes a double down the left field line, burnt the left fielder. Lands inside the foul line, like clearly inside the foul line. I'm standing behind the bleachers. I could tell it's inside the foul line.
Mm-hmm.
The run scores. Liam gets the second. Everybody's happy. Then the ump says, foul ball.
Oh, you joker.
Oh, no, man.
Don't wait till he gets the second and call a foul.
He'd already scored. And
somebody tipped him. Somebody paid him off.
I'm telling you, man. Our coach.
He's inside
the Ayola. Clear them an envelope.
I'm not even going to say the organization, but they do. Every time we do this organization tournaments, it's bad umpiring. Something happens. It's just terrible. But we, it was. So he got that run taken away, and of course, the very next. I mean, he hits a bomb the next hit, but it's right to the left fielder. So it takes all the take. You know, run doesn't score. Ends up, you know. But either way, he pitched well. Because if y'all have been listening to the show, y'all know he had a little arm injury, so he's coming back off of that and looking good. So that's good to be, man. But anyway, before we do to what's new for you guys, what's up, Kenny?
Good to see you, what up?
And Jamal, what's good, man? Good
Jamal, what up?
Mr. Chris Jameson, Chris, checking in. What's happening, man?
Saturday, buddy.
Appreciate y'all. Okay, checking in on us. We figured we'd get like so watch my Cavaliers ball, and these refs are so bad. Yeah, well, it seems to be the name of the game today, man. Refs are bad.
Liam, you're right, said Liam, they deserve to be name dropped.
I can't even tell y'all pissed he was after. I mean, he was pissed, and he had every right to be, man. Benny, what's going on?
Benny, what up?
Rise up, man. Rise up. So yeah, Mike, what's new with you, buddy? Other than like being sleep deprived like myself.
I got a great news, man. We've cleared the mark on TikTok. We have gone over 1,000 subscribers on TikTok. Hey, April. And we are about to eclipse 20,000 likes. So that's
a
huge thing, because I took over that from the person who was helping me a very short while ago. I think it was like 8 months ago. So that's a lot in a very small clip of time. And I got to say this, man. This is I got to give that all to like the younger people that's on TikTok. Because they taught me how to do everything. I did not know, I did not understand. I asked them 1,000 questions, and they always helped me. And we were like at like 8, I forgot. And I just wrote a few of them, and I like, man, can you just repost the stuff? And when girls repost, the numbers jumped tremendously. Pretty girls are the key to success of the internet. I'm telling you now, it's the secret weapon.
It's not just the internet, my friend.
Yeah, to life, right? And when they repost it, I just logged in, and we have cleared 1,000. We almost had 20,000 likes, and I really do owe that all to them. Those younger people on TikTok have helped me tremendously, and they are the sole reason that page is where it's at. And I wouldn't be in a position, John wouldn't be in a position. We wouldn't even have half of that success if it wasn't for them, because they taught me how to use the app. They taught me how to post. They taught me how to hashtag. They taught me how to edit. They taught me everything to do with that app. So just wanted to say thank you again. We cleared 1,000. That's just a proud moment, and we almost had 20,000 likes, so we should clear that today. Cool moment, man.
Hey man, that's very humble of you, but I gotta shout you out because you're the one putting that content together. And
yeah, thank you, buddy. Yeah,
saying, making, you can't have the likes within and the views and the subscribers without something being there.
Thank you, buddy.
No, you bring the humor and all the entertainment to us. So that's awesome, dude. And our Instagram, I don't even know what it is because we barely use it. So it's just, you know, we will occasionally throw something up there for
random reasons. Are lacking on Instagram, buddy.
It's so hard, dude. Like it's like to do all the social media, like Twitter, like we got X or Twitter or whatever, and like, and that's
John has Twitter, and I got TikTok, and we both do YouTube, but anything else is extra. We just
This is too much.
No, and you might you know, y'all might see Mike run on the Twitter for a half second, say something, then leave.
Maybe one time, I might throw a grenade and run.
Yeah, and then they're like, what the hell's wrong with John? But no, Mike will sign his, so y'all know. That's him. JR, what about you, buddy? What's new in your world, man?
Not much, really, in getting into, like, camping season, in a sense. You know, it's when that spring weather starts to turn, you know, spent spring break out on West Point Lake, so that was a ton of fun.
Awesome. And
yeah, outside of that, it's just making sure I'm familiar with the names that are fixing to be called next week, and at least I don't have to go, who is that? What is that? Who? At least want to be able to know who they're talking about. It may not be intimate knowledge, but you know. But other than that, man, status quo. We've just been keeping it low key.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, dude. I got shout out Liam too. He was actually student of the week last week as well.
Liam.
At Durer Middle School, so he also coming through in the clutch for the grades and being a good student. So I got to shout him out for that. So he had a good week, man. He was student of the week and got to pitch and everything, and it was great, man. So it was a good week for him. He's closing down on his eighth grade year, man. It's crazy. He's gonna be a freshman next year. It's wild.
Well, right now he's big fish in little pond.
Yeah.
Now he's fixing to go to little fish in big pond. So
that's right. That's right.
Got to keep that same energy.
Take over, Liam. Take over.
That's
buddy.
Right. That's right.
That's
man
right.
of the year.
And it is national. Actually, it's National Cold Brew Day today. So, I mean, you can get some deals. So I know Dunkin's doing like a buy one, get one free on Dunkin' Cold Brew. Amanda has a Starbucks app, so I'm not even sure what kind of deal this was.
Starbucks is the same thing, I think.
Is it? Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, I had to get, I'm going to need like 7 or 8 cups today just to stay awake.
Make it happen.
Just to make it happen today. So, like, this is, I don't know. I had one this morning when we woke up, and I had one at our post game eatery that we went to, and then I stopped and we got this one. So I'm just basically just keeping a
we have to lab test day. John's blood just to see the composition. Just one day just to see the composition.
So I've got to keep that together. But Mike, Dunkin' Cold Brew or Starbucks Cold Brew? Which one are you going with?
I'm going Starbucks. I'm so loyal to Starbucks.
I have to too. I do them both, but man, like it's more consistent. It really is. Like it's more consistent cold brew. Like you get the same thing. You're like, there can be days I get cold brew from Dunkin' and I'm like, I can't even drink this. Like it tastes like straight gasoline or just like I don't understand if it's the bottom of the barrel or what happened with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Cold brew that you put me onto has helped me so many days when I was it's nothing like that on the market. So I enjoy that.
Yeah, I guess we're not gonna get sponsored by Dunkin' anytime soon. So maybe Starbucks. Maybe y'all can reach out.
Starbucks, sponsor the boys.
Yeah, man. Jamal, so how's the pup doing, man? He's doing great. He's 55 pounds, I think, now.
Tame.
So he's growing and he's hilarious, man. Like he's got all his little weird quirks, like at night before he gets in his cage. Instead of trying to do that, he runs underneath the bed. Every single night. So every night I have to drag his ass out, literally drag him out. And he won't stand up. So I have to just push him on the floor like a Roomba, like toward his cage, like all the way to the front door of his cage. And then the man will probably finally get him to stand up. And he'll go in. But he's hilarious, man. He's awesome. And y'all probably hear him at some point during this show going off. But Chris said congrats, man. Yep. Dick said congrats. Kenny said salute Falcons family in the chat. And Liam said, shut your mouth. wait, shut your mouth, Dad.
Stop reminding me.
Yeah, I know, dude. It was rough. I know it was rough.
Also, thank you for all the congratulations. Sorry, I was buying up some Falcons on Madden. Yeah, Liam.
Yeah, Jay, what's going on, dude? Good to see you.
David Tuck, that's my man.
He says current.
They don't usually catch the live stream, do we?
No, Jay's always driving. He's always working.
Okay, good one, Jay.
He catches his legs. So yeah, we appreciate that, man. All right, Jay, so on to
it's just one of the most simplest, coolest names. I just get a kick out of that every time.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, man. So on to some Falcon stuff. And we got, again, y'all, we're catching up from like a week. So JR, y'all probably already talked about this stuff or some of this stuff, but the, if y'all haven't heard the Bill Belichick news that came out, and it doesn't matter now, but it was just kind of funny. Mike, did you hear about it?
Chris covered it. I didn't hear about it until Chris in the chat. I was on TikTok and he covered it and I almost died laughing. I didn't even know it was happening.
Yeah. So it came out with ESPN basically reported that Robert Kraft had told Arthur Blank that if he was to hire him, did not trust Bill, you know, and that Kraft told Blank he never had a warm conversation with Belichick and felt betrayed by the 6-time Super Bowl winning head coach over the final seasons of his 24-year tenure. He said Kraft believed Belichick was extremely difficult to work with, and the coach was kind of stubborn in addition to being very arrogant. Now look,
no, not Belichick. Come on.
Now that's the thing. Now they of course came out and denied all that. Like Kraft said, I didn't say any of that shit.
Oh, no,
everything he said. I can clearly see that being Belichick. You know, I mean, it just kind of fits the mold,
and they
right?
best friends, so that's kind of how you would talk to your best friend in private if you was trying to help him.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that was like that. Reading that article was not much of a surprise, but at least hopefully, like we won't this. Okay, you remember this whole offseason, or not this offseason, but all last offseason and during the season. Every time Lamar Jackson did something good, there was always a post of like, and these people said they, okay. I was really like, if things start going sideways, oh, why didn't they hire Belichick? Well, hopefully this will keep that from casting that shadow on us, because for every tweet and post, it's like, oh, well, these teams could have hired Belichick. Okay, well,
that's a great point.
The Patriots could have kept him too, and they didn't. So,
yeah, and multiple teams could have reached out. They didn't.
Multiple.
So, I mean, so, yeah, and so with that kind of came out, I guess, our pecking order of the coaches that we wanted if we didn't get Raheem. So it was basically Raheem and then Mike McDonald who ended up going to the Seahawks, which I think all of us would have been fine with that, too, if he came here. I mean, amazing defensive coordinator up at Baltimore. And then Bobby Slowick from Houston, who obviously didn't end up getting a job, but he would have been third on the list, apparently. And then yesterday the Bleacher Report released an article that said the rumors were Bill Belichick didn't view the Falcons as a true contender. So there had to be something. There had to be like a little something on the back end.
There had to be some rebuttal going on, right?
Exactly. Like Bill was like, yeah, they can't do that to me. Like, no, I didn't want them like that.
Yeah, I didn't want that girl. No way.
Exactly. Yeah. She wasn't my top choice.
Even though they called me twice. Yeah, even though they called me twice and want to talk to me in person. No, I said I don't want that.
He has to be embarrassed because of his status. He's viewed as the greatest coach of all time. So he has to be embarrassed somewhat that nobody was kind of it has to be like humbling and embarrassing. So I get it.
Yeah, there's major there's a lot of people who
John ain't giving him no credit. John said, yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, but there's a lot of people who view that Belichick probably won't coach again in the NFL because the league itself is like moved on from that type of coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that a lot of people view him as, oh, I'm going to get these, you know, 15 wins or whatever it is, 15 plus wins to pass Don Shula and then call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about it on the show. We weren't really hyped about the possibility of it. I mean, like I came around to it. Like I did a video on it, like just like, okay, let's just kind of see how this thing would work. But the idea of bringing McDaniels and Patricia and Joe Judge and all that, just kind of like, I'm like, oh man, like I can't get excited about that. And like, it just didn't seem like his aura or whatever you want to call it around him just didn't fit Atlanta. It didn't fit.
Yeah.
This
it's Atlanta. Like
nope.
I mean, it had nothing to do with anything. I was like, nah, this just doesn't have a good fit.
That's like, we needed a guy like Raheem.
And, absolutely.
No, that was perfect for Atlanta. Yep.
When like his name initially got thrown in the mix and like, I remember throwing a tweet out there. I was like, I was super like pulling for Raheem to get the job. People were like, oh, why? He haven't done anything. I'm like, look, y'all are so short-sighted in that aspect.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like he felt like the right fit for Atlanta coming off of what you had done the past two, you know, head coaches. You know, Raheem felt like a much better fit.
Yep, and we haven't played a down of football yet, but it seems like every decision that's been made has been a pretty good one. I mean, it's from just the outside looking in and just kind of, you know, I mean, the coordinator selection and everything and, you know, even going to – and, you know, none of us – I don't know, JR, were you pro Kirk? Was that the ideal situation for you?
No, not for me. I was not necessarily – I understood the logic behind it, and I still understand the logic behind it. And people ask me, like, you know, they'll pass me at work or at church or something like that, and they'll be like, oh, man, you pump for Kirk, and I'm like – yes, but no. Like, are we going to get better QB play? Yes. But that's not a high bar to surpass. But my big concern is, like, what, 3 years from now, we're doing this again? Mm-hmm. You know, 4 years at most. Like, I don't foresee Kirk Cousins playing until he's 44, 45, like Brady. Maybe he does. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that you always have to be cautious when a team is willing to move off of you, especially a QB, like, because QBs are so hard to find and so hard to nail down, that when a team is willing to move off of what, you know, is a, you know, franchise QB, that's something that, like, throws up flags to me.
Yeah, that every girl that I ever met who I met and I said, why is she single at this age? This is gold. When a few months passed, it was clearly evident to me why she was single.
Look, there's an old saying, Mike, that said, you show me a 10 and I'll show you a dude who's tired of her crap. Okay.
I'm telling you. Just every single time I've had to have, how can you be single? It played out and it was clear to me. So same thing, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, and when it comes down to paying quarterbacks, I mean, some teams just ain't ready for it. I mean, especially, you know, they're going to look at their payroll, see what they got. They know they got JJ coming up, who's, you know, apparently turned down a massive contract to stay with them. So, I mean, you know, I but either way, my whole point was, it looks like Raheem's made really, really good decisions, you know, and his interview with Steve Wyche, if y'all saw some of that, I mean, it seemed like he was his choice from the beginning, like from the get, he was like, that's the guy I want that guy. Well, and, you know,
it makes sense. Like, you know, from, and that's what I said, you know, from a Raheem Moore standpoint, you're coming back in to getting a second swing at the job. You don't necessarily want to tie your job, your career to a young QB right out the gate. Mm-hmm. You're also pairing it with a first time play caller in Zach Robinson. So it takes a little bit, like, kind of like back in the day when we brought Alex Mack in, right? It elevated everybody's game because it took pressure off of, you know, Ryan. It allowed him to, you know, read the field, make the plays, right? So you're taking pressure off of a first-time play caller by having a guy who has already seen everything, so to speak. He's played enough football that he's not going to come to the sideline wide-eyed and scared.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's not going to come to the sideline confused. You know, he's going to come to the sideline and be like, all right, like, dude, all right, they're doing this, 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 and this.
Yep.
Let's hit him with, you see what I'm saying? And so that should be an easier transition for a guy like a Zach Robinson.
Yeah, and with the team that we have, look, I mean, I think he kind of brings, like, that sense of calm, like, to the huddle. You know what I mean? Like, things are going apeshit, you know, like, they aren't going to freak out, because Kirk's not going to freak out. He's going to be like, I mean, because he's been there, done that. You know, we got a lot of young guys on that. I mean, our playmakers are all young. Everyone. They're all still young. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's, you know, to have somebody, and I'm not crapping on Dez, but to have Dez or even Taylor, who, you know, look, first year learning that offense has not been easy for anybody. You know, they're not going to feel as comfortable as they might with a Kirk Cousins coming in, who, like you said, been there, done that, seen everything you can see in the league, and be like, all right, guys, you know, this is what's happening, but y'all can chill. We're going to be fine. You know, let's get back to our game, you know, and, like, that's, I think that just having that voice in that huddle is going to be huge and just for that impact on the field alone.
Bro, isn't it vital for your quarterback to be a captain? It's because he's the leader of the team. He's the leader. So when he's not the captain, that's kind of like, I trust him, like, more than you, but you in charge. So it's important to have your quarterback be a captain. So that's kind of cool that Kirk, he will be a captain. And just like JR, he's seen everything, so he's not going to come like, what the hell? I don't know what to do with the situation.
Like, I can easily see a situation where he's, like, on the fly, you know, instructing guys on, like, in their route depths and things of that nature, based off of what they're seeing and how guys are playing. So it's like having you know, another coach on the field in the huddle. And that's something we haven't had in a couple of years.
Exactly.
I thought you was going to take a nap, Mighty. No. He said, I thought I was going to take a nap, but I'm out of my Falcon mind instead. What's going on? You can take a nap after the show, buddy. There's plenty of time.
Let that man take a nap.
We appreciate that, Mighty. Dude, I'm with you, Mighty. So I'm like, the nap is going to come soon after I guess, get off this coffee binge that I'm on at the moment, which I'm not sure if that's going to stop. And John, what's up, buddy? Good to see you.
Hey, John.
Jay, interrupt, man. He said, fellas, what do y'all think about sources?
John talked about this.
I thought about y'all's sources saying we might draft Byron Murphy at 8. So, we were going to go there today. So we'll just go there now. Yeah. If y'all heard Daniel Jeremiah talk about it the other day, and it was just something he said, I think it was NFL Live, wasn't it, JR? I think.
Yeah, I believe it was NFL Live like that, or Path to the Draft or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's floated it out now a handful of times.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that he's always, especially this close to the draft, I'm always tuned in to what Daniel Jeremiah has to say because he's listening to the league.
He's one of the more tuned in guys. He's not Mel Kiper. He's not, I mean, like, he's, you know, like, he's legitimately kind of tuned in, you know. So, like, I guess we're not getting Mel Kiper on the show ever either. So, but that's all
right. John has dragged that man like 7-8 times. He is never coming on our show.
But DJ, hey, Daniel, hey, anytime you want to come on, buddy, we got you. But look, no, yeah, he said in that Mina Kimes asked him, you know, if Dallas Turner was essentially like a lock, you know, for us at 8, if it just seemed like that's what was going to happen. And he said, no, not necessarily. He said, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Byron Murphy was taken in the top 10. You know, he didn't necessarily say us, but he just said, you know, that I wouldn't be surprised if that was, you know, the move, you know. And I like Byron Murphy a lot. He's probably, you know, best D tackle in this draft. I can't see him as high as 8, though. I don't know. JR, what about you?
8 would be a little rich. There was a couple weeks back I floated the not seriously floated the idea, but threw out the tweet that, you know, Johnny Newton, the other defensive tackle out of Illinois, you know, taking him at 8. But if there's a coaching staff that should know how to use a, you know, penetrating, you know, 3-tech and use them effectively, it should be this staff, right? You know, coming off of working with Aaron Donald for the past 3 years. I'm not saying that either of these guys are Aaron Donald, but they're cut from that mold, that style of DT. Yep. They're not the big, you know, gap plugging, you know, guys. They're the more gap shooting guys. So if they feel like that, hey, we got to come out with a pass rusher, and this is the best pass rusher, you know, whether it be from interior or edge, then, you know, go with it. But I could see them targeting Murphy in a trade down scenario. I don't know if I would necessarily be targeting Murphy at as high as 8. If you drop back a couple spots to 10 or 11, even, you know, 12, that starts to become a little bit more palatable. But that's us as fans.
Yep.
I do know for a fact that teams, the difference between 8 and 12 isn't as wide as we perceive it to be.
Yeah.
You know, so they look at them in more in tiers and in chunks, you know. Right.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about Mike if you went D tackle instead? Take the best D tackle off the board.
I'll be honest with you, because when we was going over everything, I never heard anyone say this person's name, so I'm totally against it. Man, I trust y'all. I never heard y'all say this man's name for our first pick, so I'm not. Man, I trust y'all more than anything else, and I never heard no one call this man's name at 8, so no.
Well, yeah. he's absolutely a first-round talent. I just don't think
Yeah.
Top. But just not at 8, right?
Well, probably
eight's
not.
Just a little – he's just a little rich, you know?
Yeah. And it depends on, like you said, JR, how they have him tiered, you know, because ultimately, guys, like, I mean, we've said it, JR, like, I'm good. If any of those three edges, hey, whatever they like the best, I'm good with it. I'm good with whatever. We've talked about, they all got their pros, they all got their cons, they all have, and they're all different. They're all just different the way how they produce and how they get to the quarterback and how they just, you know, can they play in coverage? Cause that has to be a thing they can do in today's NFL. They can't just be a sole pass rusher. Cause I'm not, otherwise you can't take a guy just, you know, at 8, that's just going to be on the field as a
pass
rusher. That's why Yannick Ngakoue is still out there in free agency. Like,
exactly.
Yes, he can rush you, you know, get to the passer for 8 to 10 sacks a year, but that's all he's going to give you. Like, he's not setting an edge for you at all. He can't drop into coverage. It's pass rush or nothing.
Yeah, and the and the experts, quote unquote, views of these guys are all over the board. I mean, you've got guys saying they wouldn't take Latu in the top 10, and then you've got guys saying like, oh, he's going to be a double digit sack guy year one in the league. Right. It's like there's some drastic differences in how they view these guys, you know, and like these are guys that do it for a living. You know, we just sit here and we watch as much film as we can, as much film as we have time to, but you know, we're not paid to do it. You know what I mean? As far as for a team or for an organization. I mean, so it's
Mike's paid to do it, but you know,
it's only Mike. On the other hand, yeah. But yeah, so it's just, it's tough to figure, you know, like, you know, it's just kind of a crapshoot, man. Like you go with who you think is going to fit the defense the best and look and see who you think may have the highest ceiling and go with that. But yeah, you, like you said, and looking at trade down scenarios, and we, you know, I kind of brought up, you know, if we're talking about going, we can't go too far back. You know, if somebody comes to us and they say, yeah, we're interested in moving up to 8. Okay, great. Number one, you got to find out how far we're moving back. Number one. And then is that far enough back to where you're comfortable enough with, okay, I can still get my guy there, or I can get, or I've got 3 or 4 guys that I'm comfortable with getting at that point. Like
that's where it need to be. So I got 3 or 4, so I can't miss.
You got to go in with a bunch, you know, whether it's like, you got to feel like, okay, if I move back to 12 or 15 or whatever, I got to feel like, okay, a pass rusher is going to be there, a corner is going to be there, or a DT is going to be there, or, you know, whatever it is. Like you have to, you have to have a good feeling that one of those guys, and, you know, now you have Ian Rappaport talking about potential like run at cornerback starting at 8, you know, whether that's us or, you know, somebody else. So, you know, that's a, you got to have a good feeling that whoever, like whatever position you're targeting is going to be there when you move back.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it wouldn't shock me if we went corner either. I mean, to be honest with you, we'll get more into that in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, looking at the Bears, you know, for instance, the Bears, they draft behind us, right? So their next pick is not till the 3rd round, and it's the 75th pick. So if they want to move up, I'll definitely get in that, but is that enough? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to be like happy with that? You know what I mean? So if they're the ones that come calling, or the Jets, for instance, so their pick after the 10th pick overall is 72nd. So kind of the same deal. It's like, okay, well, I mean, is that going to be enough? Or do we want a player at it? Do we want to pick in next year's draft? Like, how greedy are you going to get, you know, to basically for that pick? And then the Vikings, they're going to have they don't pick again until they have the 11th and the 23rd. So right, we can move back. That's
the ideal, right? That's like the ideal. If they want to come up for McCarthy or Penix or if whoever is sitting there and they want to come up and they haven't been able to come up yet, like it would be ideal to get, you know, their like 11 and 23.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe a 3rd or something next year. Or even if it's like 11 and do they have a 2nd round pick? Do you have that?
Yeah, the Vikings, no, they have round. They don't pick again until round 4, 108.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's because of some of their moves that they have made. So,
yeah, and then you look at the Broncos after them, 12, and then again, not again until the 76th pick at 3rd round. So, really, the ideal, if you're talking about four within those 4 spots after us, the Vikings is probably who you're hoping, you know, to move up. I mean, and if you go past that, then you're really kind of, you're walking a thin line of maybe not getting the guy you want, you know? So I think it's probably more likely that you're going to stay at 8 more. I mean, unless someone just comes with a ridiculous offer that you can't.
Oh yeah. Like some godfather offer.
Exactly. I think that's probably,
refuse.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, you're probably just more likely to stick in there at 8, but JL said also, if we don't draft a QB, is there a young QB in the league worth trading, signing to mold behind Cousins? JR, what do you think about that, bud?
No. I mean, they're backups for a reason. Even with a guy like Trey Lance, right? Everybody, like, and I was on the, you know, if you were going to draft a quarterback in that draft, you know, Trey Lance was the one that I was excited about. But he has shown absolutely no kind of improvement in his time in the league. And so, like, there's nobody sitting on somebody else's roster that you're like, oh, yeah, I can groom this guy to eventually take over. Even if we draft a guy in this draft, which they probably will, you're still, like, the chances of that guy being your starter is very slim. you know, like a Spencer Rattler or even a Michael Penix. Like, those guys have their upsides, but I think those guys have upsides to be high-end backups like a Gardner Minshew, who can start maybe a half a season for you, but you're not putting your, you know, the weight of your franchise on their shoulders.
Yeah,
so that's my thoughts.
Yeah. Anybody can say
no Malik Willis for y'all.
No.
I'm good.
Both of them. You see how fast that was, Jay?
No. Look, I was down at the Senior Bowl watching Malik Willis in person.
Dude, not good.
No, I mean, he could sling the ball, but it's just like, no. It's
he was not helped out at all, but that Liberty offense was just a
one read and go. First, and that's it. It's one read, and if you run can, if that read ain't there, you got the same thing with Matt Corral, you know,
and
there with Lane Kiffin. It's you read it. If it ain't there, you take off.
When we were evaluating QBs for that year, you know, like I looked, the biggest game for me was watching that Ole Miss game, because that was like the best competition Liberty played all year long, and Ole Miss absolutely had him just – I mean, he was trying to do everything number one. Like, you know, it was just – because he was really the best player on that offense, like wasn't even close. But you could just tell, like, against that level of talent, like it wouldn't quite there yet. Yeah, yeah. So, but,
sorry, Malik.
Yeah, but no, you know –
sorry, Malik. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, JR, do you think it's – do you see us taking a QB, or do you think we should take a QB, or are you cool if we just like punt till next year?
I mean, I would not mind if we waited till next year, but I also understand like you want to start developing a backup, you know, a guy. So if you grabbed, you know, the one that I would zero in on is either Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt. Those and I wouldn't reach for those guys before the fourth round. In my opinion, maybe the third, since you have an extra third round. Anytime you have an extra pick in a round, I'm fine with, you know, grabbing somebody that you may not expect. Yeah. But I wouldn't make a move until the fourth on a QB myself.
J.R. John, so I do have a question for you. I'm going to name three quarterbacks that may be there. If you just say you have to pick one, we are going to pick a quarterback. Who are you taking? Rattler, Penix, or Bo Nix?
You tell me they're all going to be there in the third?
They all going to be there.
If they all there, I would still probably take – man, it'd be a toss-up between Rattler and Bo Nix, but I think I'd still probably take Rattler.
Okay. I mean,
the reason why I say that's not that I dislike Bo Nix or I dislike Penix. I just feel like you are watching the ceiling, that they have hit where as far as they're going to go. Mm-hmm. Like Penix – as much as I love his arm talent, like his pocket navigation is not very good. And, you know, it was deep ball or nothing really for him.
Yeah.
And then Bo Nix.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say Bo Nix, I really like. Bo Nix, I think in the right situation, Bo Nix could be, you know, a good, like, solid backup. But I think Rattler offers you the most upside, because you got to remember, before, you know, he got benched for Caleb Williams, like we were talking, the media was talking about like Heisman for Rattler. Like he can make every throw.
Oh yeah. And,
you know, it's just, there are times where he'll make some ridiculous tight window throw, and then the next, you know, two throws later, he's throwing a pick that you're like, well,
yeah. Yeah, it's been just the decision. Back like in
John,
sorry, like say, John? Blood just went on behind me, and I was like, what the hell?
What are you saying, John? If you got to pick between those three, Rattler, Penix, or Bo Nix, you have to take one in the later rounds. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I mean, I think Penix will be gone before the third, but like if he's there, did y'all see some? I think it was Derek Jeremiah that had that the Raiders taking him at 13.
Bo Nix?
Yeah, no, Penix.
Oh, Penix. Yes. I can almost, like, I got a strong feeling that Bo Nix and or Penix, one of them is going in the first round, whether it's to the like Denver or the Raiders, who find themselves on the outside looking in. I think one of those guys will take. I think the Vikings will make a big move to come up and get J.J. McCarthy. And then I think either the Raiders or Denver will be desperate and grab you know, either a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix, and we'll all be sitting here like,
Let's go, Bo. Yeah. And so that's the first time, I think, on the show where we got all three different answers for any question we ever asked. So that was kind of cool.
I don't know that I would go Penix necessarily. Like, I mean, I like him a lot, but like you said, JR, like, you have to kind of look at, like, have they experienced getting hit around in the pocket a lot, you know, and how are they in the pocket? How's their feet in the pocket? You know, that's the thing with Penix. He hadn't really, like, that's kind of been the thing. And when he has, it's not been great. Spencer had a terrible offensive line at South Carolina, terrible. So
he's like, he's running for his life all the whole day.
Bro, he got sacked like 70 some odd times. You know, like, it's, yeah, I mean, like, it's been bad. So, like, he's, you know, and you can't look at it, like, we've talked about it 100 times on the show. You can't look at a quarterback solely as it's just him. You know, like, it's got to be, his offensive line's a huge part of his success, right? So, but like JR said, he's got the arm talent. It's just the decision making that's been questionable over the years. It's gotten better. No doubt about it. It's gotten better. And it's something that you think sitting behind the right guy, like maybe Kirk, could work out. So I go Spencer with it. Because like you said, you can make every throw on the field. You know, possibly somebody who can turn into, you know, a good starter 2 or 3 years on the road. And because I think he's 23, he'll be 24 when the season starts. You know,
he's a little bit younger than Nix and Penix. Because that's the other thing with Nix and Penix is they're both, you know, elder statesmen and have both started a lot of football. And when you have started a lot of football, that's the reason why it makes me feel like they're closer to their ceiling.
Yeah, I got you.
Then the guys, like, now you can say that about Jaden Daniels as well. Like, I think he gets a lot of love for, he had a very electric season at LSU this past year. But he's played a lot of football, you know. So if it was me turning in the card, I'm trying to find a guy who has the upside, you know, especially in the first round.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, and I, you know, it seems like Rattler seems to be kind of the consensus among, like, all the
everybody say Spencer Rattler,
all the experts too. Yeah, like, that's supposed to be the guy. So,
Bo, I got you, Bo. I'm gonna stand out. If you blow, I'll take credit for it.
And we did. We know, you know, Chris has got
Bo Nix. Yeah, Chris.
That's right. Yeah, I'll say Chris. Chris is Bo Nix all the way.
I'm going Bo.
Yeah, Johnson.
So I want to say this about Kirk. I was not the biggest fan of Kirk, but. It's a joke, but it's not a joke to say that the receivers have to be happy to be like, dog, if I'm open, the ball is going to come where it's supposed to be. How simple that is, man, if I'm open, I got a chance to catch it and keep running. I ain't got to run backwards. I don't got to stop and get hit. I may have a chance to catch this ball and keep running toward the end zone. That is so simple, but it's something we haven't had in 2 years. So that's going to be something.
Big time, man. And Chris said, thoughts on Braswell at 43 if we took Murphy in the first. What's your thoughts on Chris Braswell? But
Braswell is he's definitely a second-round rusher. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a real good bookend with Dallas Turner, has been a real good bookend for – he's a quintessential Robin, you know. And he's a good Robin at that, you know. I've got nothing against Braswell. I put him in the same bucket as like a Braylon Trice or even a, I know he'll probably go in the first round, but like a Chop Robinson, as far as like the tier. Now he brings something a little different. I think Braswell sets a good edge. And he seems like more of a sturdy, but we already have a Robin on the team in Ebiketie.
You need that Batman.
Right. We need Batman. Like you can't, like, we did that last year with a team full of Robins, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, look, if that's what we got to do, it's what we got to do. But I definitely would rather try to go find a Batman.
Yeah. John said, I want Dallas or Verse plus Fisk. I mean, I wouldn't hate that either.
Fisk is Jonathan's dude.
Yeah. He's, I mean, I would, like I said, I'm not. You can upgrade as much or add as much depth to the defensive line as you want. I'm not going to
angry. Yeah, no.
At all. And Beasley said, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, the main sources that put out real sources. Some of the fans don't believe any source. That's true.
John said that. It just say sources, and they'd be like, yep.
Yeah, just trust me, man. You got it.
Yeah, there's some folks out there on Twitter, that, especially during free agency, that was getting some major run that I was like, y'all are just – getting full of smoke.
Yeah, well, the first time they Yeah, or they see it tweeted and they can't, like, they immediately quote it. Or and I'm like, y'all got to pump the brakes up. Go check that out first.
Y'all got to calm down.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, y'all, if anybody that's in the chat, if y'all want to drop any questions, comments, feel free, man. We'll hit them because, like I said, pretty laid back today's show. So, and that goes for guys on Twitter as well. If y'all watching on Twitter, y'all's comments will show up in the chat. And JR, I know you got to go pretty soon, buddy.
Yeah.
So we'll hit one more question. You can get out of here. Uncle Steve, what's up, buddy? Make sure y'all check on Steve. He had a great video, man. His was hilarious.
His was amazing.
This was great. So make sure y'all check out his
he made me almost want to re-record mine. I was like, oh.
That's when you know it's good. Exactly. He said, what up, guys? Great videos today. Is there any world where you see us flipping the script to trade up and go after alt? O-line is a must with Kirk staying in the pocket.
John is going to be
a fan of this. I got a feeling.
I don't see us moving up to take Joe Alt. Now, we can have a conversation if Joe is sitting there at eight and you're staring at Joe Alt or one of the pass rushers. Now, I do feel like the drop from Dallas Turner to a Braswell, like from that first tier to the second tier, is a pretty, far drop. But if you feel like, hey, we got to keep Kirk clean, then that's far more important.
Right.
So I wouldn't be mad, especially if you feel like in a few years you could bounce Alt. And I'm thinking that if you bring in Alt, is because you don't have trust in McGarry. So you'd be bringing in Alt to take that spot. And then in a few years, flip over to left to take over for Jake when he retires. Mm-hmm. I don't see a world where you take Alt and then move Jake to the right. I don't see that happening. He spent his whole career at left in the pros. I know he played some right in college, but yeah, I don't see that aspect happening.
Yeah, Johnny, I mean,
I know.
Huh?
No, I'm just waiting on this answer from you. I know you don't like McGarry.
No, I don't. But I mean, I'm the same boat. I can't see us giving away picks to trade up for him. But yeah, if he happened to drop, then yeah. Because yeah, you are going to, like, I mean, you're going to have to make a decision, not this year, but Jake Matthews not getting any younger.
No.
McGarry, you've seen what he is. He's not going to change. It's concerning for sure, because Kirk is a pocket guy. You don't want Kirk outside running, around. So it's like, I mean, I think they need to address it at some point, like either this year or next year, whether you're taking a first round guy this year, or you're taking a second or third round guy this year, or even fourth round guy you think can be molded and beefed up to that type of the potential, then sure. You can't have that much money in a quarterback and then, really not protect him like you should. So that's the thing. So there are some good tackles in this year's draft. It's pretty fairly deep.
There's going to be one there at eight. It may not be Alt. It may be Fulaga, or it may be, there's a handful of other ones. There's going to be one at eight, and that may be something that somebody moves up for. And that may be in that pool that you were talking about. Hey, when we drop back, that might be added in that pool of, if that guy's there when we move back, we're okay with taking him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, I can see a world where they take an O-lineman, but I feel like it's going to be somebody who can get after the pass, the passer, versus somebody who's going to protect it.
100%. Well, buddy, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a little
bit. Thank you, JR, always. Thanks, man. Mike.
Hey, make sure you drop where you can find you guys and what y'all got going on this coming week. Well, we all know what we're doing.
Yeah, I was about to say, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grim1128. That's GRIMM1128. And B, make sure y'all join us, all of us, live Thursday night. We'll be going live at 7:45 Eastern Standard Time as we get ready for the draft. We will not be having a show on our normal Tuesday because we will be streaming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, definitely tune in to, you'll be able to tune in here. You'll be able to tune in on our channel at Pound for Pound. And I think that's it, right? We just
streamed. I think New Millennium can do it on theirs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And also on New Millennium. But yeah, we're going to have a big show on the Tuesday or Thursday, the first night. Faux show. So appreciate it, guys. Thanks, y'all, for letting me hang out.
Yeah, thank you, JR.
Peace.
See you.
Nobody does the draft like pound for pound because they go the second round, every third round, fourth round. They are there for the complete thing. Like, it's awesome.
That will never happen for me because
never.
Amanda's birthday is the day after the first round. It's always
Yes.
It's April 26th. So it's always either the first. I don't think it's ever been on the first round. So I've been lucky on that one. Like, that's been good. But like, second round, I can't do it. And we might be on one of those days for a few minutes, but it won't be the whole time, you know. And then also we got invited, Kevin from the Falcoholic invited us to come on their live. They're doing it all 3 days as well. And I told him the same thing. I said, you know, Tuesday, day two probably out. Day three is a possibility. So let me know, you know, because this, again, that's going to revolve around Liam's baseball too. Like, what's going on?
I'll be out of town, but I'm bringing my laptop and my camera so I can join the draft party with you guys.
Exactly. And continuing the draft talk, buddy. So yeah, when
I got a question. Hold on, John, real quick. I do have a question for you. Who would you say is the Troy Andersen of this draft? Well, I don't mean on defense, but is there a person that no one ever, but who just, you know, because you watch college, that he ain't in the reports, he's not on TV, ain't nobody talking about him, but you know better, this dude is pretty good. He going to blow everybody's mind. Is there somebody you got in mind like that? Because Troy came out of nowhere, and the whole world was like, who the hell is this guy? So is there anybody you know that is not on nobody's radar? He said he's going to be at least pretty solid when he comes.
I mean, I'll probably go with I could probably come up with a better answer, but what JR said at the beginning of the show, man, like Jonah Ellis, Caden's brother, little brother out of Utah, like he's not getting a ton of hype.
Oh, that's his brother?
Yeah.
Oh, but, I didn't know. Okay.
But he's a pretty solid player, man. He's one of those guys who I think you could he could be a dude at the next round. So
who he played for, John?
Utah.
Utah, okay. Yeah. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
He's Johnny Yates. Yeah. You heard Johnny Yates say it here first.
We'll see. Yeah. Well, Beasley said I'll wait on Shador next year. And we don't, that's a possibility, dude.
Bring
we don't
prime. Know
where he's going to go or, you know, even if you want to, I don't know, man. Dion, he already saying he's only going to play for a certain team. So,
He said he don't want to coach the pro. So I don't think he was playing when he said that.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. But anyway, talking about the draft, man, Raheem said, talking with Steve Weiss. Weiss was trying to get out of him, like, what draft pick, you know, he wanted to go with. And, of course, he's not going to put himself in that hole. He was just like, man, we're going to take the best player available, you know, and that's kind of our strategy. So, you know, looking at that, I mean, that opens it wide. You have to say that. You can't say that. We're definitely going edge there, you know, so like they're not going to put himself in a hole. But, you know, it definitely opens up different theories. But help us talk about some of those theories, man. Look at this guy.
Big Low.
What in the world, bro?
Hey, you know we got our man on the show. Low it up.
Hey, man, we over here trying to make it, bro. Fair to part the cloudy. What about y'all?
I love it. We just having fun on a Saturday, man. Out of your Falcon mind.
Hey, man, that's all the kind of mind frame to have, bro.
That's it. Now, we were just talking about, you know, what Raheem said to Steve Weiss about, like, being open to BPA is at 8, you know, because that's what he's got to say, of course. So, but it does open it up, I mean, a little bit, because, I mean, is there any position, man, that or any – player that you would just be blown away or shocked by that we went there, like, you know, knowing that D-line or edge corner is definitely two needs, wide receiver is a need, but, you know, just fairly deep in there, and of course offensive tackle or offensive line, like, is there one of those that would just be kind of like, wow, I can't believe they did that? I think Lowe froze up on us.
Lowe is either a pantomiming or he is frozen.
there you go, man. Okay. To be honest with you, John, it's like the possibilities are endless at this point.
Yeah, it really is.
Like if you look at the last 3 years, it's like, who would have thought we would have got a tight end?
Yeah,
when we did, or, you know, I mean, so it's like, I mean, yeah, we have needs, but if you look at Raheem Morris's team, his defense.
Damn, Malo, we lost you, buddy. I think your mic went out. Yeah, we'll let Lowe fix his mic there. But yeah, man. So I'm kind of with him, man. Like, I don't – his defense, I mean, you could go – you know, apparently they really like, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, you know, and they like – you know.
What would make you mad, though, John? Like, is there a pick that you would be like –
wide receiver pissed me off a little bit.
Wide receiver, okay.
I don't even care if it's Romo Dunze or Molina. Like, well, like two of the top.
You don't even care if it's a good play.
I mean, I'd be excited because it's going to be another weapon.
Yeah.
But damn it, man. Like, we've got – eventually, yeah, you've got to swing at the edge. Yeah. Eventually. Or I mean, if you want to get the top 10.
At some point. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to because, I mean, you can't keep – I mean, I guess you can keep rotational type guys. But, man, like, you know, that's part of the league, man. You got to be able to get up to the quarterback, you know. So, it's like mm-hmm. – and as deep as this wide receiver class is, I mean, I'm not giving away what our pick was for the 43rd pick. But it's a mm-hmm. wide receiver. Like, you know, y'all mm-hmm. go see which one we picked in the little video mm-hmm. that we posted. But, like, mm-hmm. that's who – that or that position. It's not, if it's not even him, like, you know, like the guy we picked in our draft was with Savion. Yeah, with Xavier Leggett. If he's there, okay. Yeah. I mean, but you can get really solid receivers down the line. So, like, okay. I'm not –
no need to go at eight then.
Not for me. Not for me, no. Even if it, if they think it's like – no, for me, it's almost like what's – maybe outside of tackle, but like, what's your best defensive player available? Like, if you want to tell me that's your strategy, okay, fine. Yeah. If you think Quinyon Mitchell, the corner, is going to be an all pro, you know, but mm-hmm. but you're not really sold on any three of those edges being like an all pro, I can see mm-hmm. why you would take Quinyon Mitchell.
I got you.
You're going to have two lockdown corners. If you remember what Dean Pease always used to say, man, he always used to say, like, it's easier for me to lock down covers than it is for me to generate. I can generate pass rush, but it's not easy for me to have two lockdown corners and like mm-hmm. really, really control that pass game. So, like, I get that point too, but yeah, I just can't go receiver there, man. Mm-hmm. And I think Lowe had to drop off. We'll see if he gets better connection. He's mm-hmm. he was out and about today, man. He was out. Yeah. I think
he was coming from the car, y'all. He was coming from the car.
Jay got a question.
Damn, y'all didn't have to say it like that. John, go try the lavender Frappuccino. That sound and add vanilla sweet kitten. Now that's at Starbucks. I'm sure he's talking
really
about Starbucks.
Damn good. That sounds really damn good.
Got a question for you, Mike. Would you rather win $1,000 a week for a year or Falcons win the Super Bowl this year and I get a ring? $1,000 a week for a year or the Falcons win the Super Bowl and I get a ring. I'm going for the state. I can't go selfish. I got to go for the state of Georgia. I'm going for the Super Bowl and the Rams. If I get a ring, I will cry like a baby. I will want the ring and my Falcons to win the Super Bowl because I'll be rich anyway. Me and Johnny Yates going to be rich momentarily. I have no doubt about it. So I ain't worried about the $1,000. But the Super Bowl, you may only get one of those in your lifetime on the planet. So I want to experience it.
Especially as a Falcons fan, buddy. We got to
I really do think that people like the Patriots, you get spoiled when you get a chance to experience that multiple times. Mm-hmm. You just want to experience it one time. When you're a fan of a team since a child, you might cry as an adult.
Well, I'm definitely.
If your team, and you're not on the team or nothing, but if you've been following the team since you was 8 or 9 and you 40-something or 50-something, you might start crying. And it will mean so much to me. I'm gonna buy a ring. I promise you this. I'll have a ring made if they give me one or not. I will have jury on if we win because I'm a part of that. I feel like I helped. I don't know how I helped, but I feel like I helped.
Dude, absolutely, dude. I mean that's gonna be.
It would just mean something for the state, man. It would mean something for the state of Georgia, and I want us to have that because everybody kind of take us around the league as kind of the joke where they don't. It's not really a football. It's a transplant state, and all that. They talk about us like dogs. So it would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, 100%, man. John said Peyton Willis is Detroit. I'll have to look him up, dude. I'll have to see. But
what position is that, John? Peyton Willis.
He said the injury to Detroit might have been a blessing in disguise. Now,
So we have them both next year. That's a great point. We got both because Nate is the man.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Didn't say that.
I'm telling you. Yep.
Oh yeah. If you gonna go and if you gonna put some money down, now's the time.
If you put some money down now, I'm telling you, you will get more than your money's worth. To be honest, I think we got a good shot, and I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, and Lad, yeah, John,
I heard a lad. I heard her. I know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. Pearsall, Ricky out of Florida, totally fine with that too. Malachi Corley, I'm good with that too. Yeah, I'm with you, John. We're on the same page, man. If I take that receiver and that, like second round, if you know if that's what you want to do. And when we drafted, it was kind of that way. It was kind of like we wanted to go corner, but there really wasn't like a corner that you could just say, like, mm-hmm. that guy's going to be amazing. So we went with the better receiver option, you know, which is what makes sense, you know. But that's kind of what you want to go. That's what you hope the team does. Like, you don't want mm-hmm. them reaching for anybody necessarily.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and like kind of just because you need it. That hasn't been like, that hasn't been Terry Fontenot's kind of MO anyway, yeah. but like you don't want it to start for any reason, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think. I don't think Raheem is going to be that way either. Because
Thomas would piss me off. I couldn't understand his logic, but I can always follow Terry's logic in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I see it play out, and I see, oh, I see what he was putting that puzzle piece there. So I don't go against Terry. Thomas was the best dressed guy I almost ever seen in life. I would keep saying that. That was the flyest dude ever, but he didn't. He just wasn't that good at his job. I would love to know what he's doing now. TJ!
Well, I think he's doing like, what's going on, Tyree? I think he's doing he has like a podcast himself, actually.
Are you kidding?
No. He goes around and like interviews, let me look it up. He goes around and like interviews GMs and stuff like that.
John Yates, you got to give me the name of that. I got to hear this. Are you joking?
No, I'm pretty sure, because I thought I heard that on the radio the other day. But I'll look it up to see.
Yeah, I got to check this out.
It's either a podcast or like a here we go.
A show or something.
The GM Journey on Apple Podcast.
I'll be checking it out. Go Thomas, the GM Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Last guy in the world, man.
And Lowe said he was having some connection issues. That's fine, man. He was out. He wasn't at home, so you know that's all good.
It's him and like man, Nate Burleson. If I can dress half of him and Nate Burleson, I think I'll be good. Like, because I wear sweatsuits, sweatpants. I got to do better than this eventually.
Yeah. Well, when you have to. So, I mean, we did it for what, a year and so at our old job.
Yeah, yep. Dressed up every day. Hated it. Hate wearing slacks. Hate wearing button up. Hate wearing hard shoes. But
especially
I did
during the summer. It's not the worst than having a tie.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Damn it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, buddy. So I mean, going into Thursday, man. So
John, I got to tell you something. It don't have anything to do with the show, but I've got to say it before I forget. Yeah. Johnny Yates had a sports clothing brand at a time, right? And I've never had a shirt that made me look more muscular. And I'm pissed every time I think of it. I get angry that he's no longer doing it, because I don't know what the cut was on these shirts. But every time I put the shirt on, I felt like Johnny Yates. It just wrapped. I don't know. I have never had a shirt fit me like that. We need you to come back out of retirement with that, buddy, because I'm in shape and I need the shirt. I think about that shirt all the time. I'd be like, dog, if I had that right now. Shout it was amazing.
Iron. Hey, Iron Office, buddy. How about that?
Yeah, Iron Office was Johnny Yates. He had a coat. Yeah. It was amazing, dog. He had the best shirts. If you was in shape even halfway, I mean, I was this much in shape, but if you was even a little bit in shape, the shirts John would make you look like you was a lot of bit in shape. And it was amazing, man. Dude, I don't know why them shirts fit like that, but they did.
Dude, that was an experience, man. Cause we were like 30, 31 years old, and like Liam was 2 years old, and you know, whatever. Yeah. And it was fun. It was a great idea. But man, like, you talk about like the hustle you have to do online to get that shit to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like you gotta find ambassadors, and you gotta like continually just pump them up, you know, and promote them as they're promoting you. And you know, Amanda, it's not in her heart to do stuff like that. You know, it's like it's like she can't bullshit you, man. Like she has a real hard time talking to you. She doesn't like
you. Yep. Yeah.
So like, you know, it was challenging.
That was awesome, man. I just got old. I'm so mad I didn't buy like 20 of those.
They still post pictures in those shirts and tag us in it, man.
Those shirts was the best shirts I've ever had, man.
Yeah, those are.
I've never had shirts that fit like that. Go Johnny Yates and Amanda.
Thanks, buddy. Maybe one day when we got time to spare,
bring him back out of retirement.
Money to burn. We'll just do that. We were smart with Bonfire. There's no investment. They take care of everything. You know, yep. if you got to go buy your stuff in bulk ahead of time. That costs a lot.
You got to sell it or you lose.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, buddy. So, last thing going on in the draft, dude. Has your opinions changed at all since? I mean, you know, like any of the news just came out or anything. Are you still going edge at eight, or is it?
My dog, I'm the reason why I'm going edge. I just think it's a glaring hole. The main thing that pissed me off. I understand the quarterback play, but we talked about that enough.
Yeah.
The main thing was there were people that was coming off the street who were flaming us. And that's because, and my dad, rest in peace, he used to always tell me, the most sorry quarterback will pick you apart if he got time to go through every read. And when you can look once, no, twice, second read, third, and then back to one, you can throw for 300 yards against us. And that's, you got to get pressure. You got to. And I thought that Pease did a great job with what he had. And like last year, I thought he did a great job with what they had. But, man, that is a glaring hole, and you cannot win in the NFL. It don't matter if we get to the playoffs. What, you cannot win in the NFL if you can't get pressure. So what y'all telling me, that it's some top 10 talent, like it's some first round top 10 pick talent, I'm saying at least, and the same way John said, it's some people you never know until they actually start playing. It's never guaranteed. But I, if we going to swing the bat, I would like to swing our bat at that. But I wouldn't, I also like the sound of Joe Alt to replace McGurry. But I think you go defense first. I just think you got to go defense first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you, man. Like I gave corner a thought, and I still wouldn't be totally opposed to it. Like, you know, and the only thing that worries me, I say it's, you know, not, it's not like a huge worry, but you know, Quinyon Mitchell is like supposedly the QB or not QB CB one in this draft. You know, played for Toledo, and he hasn't.
Is he
played
better than Christian?
Who?
Jar? Your Gonzalez? Is he the same tier? Or is he worse, better? How would you rate
it? The level of competition. Like, he played for Toledo, right? So Toledo doesn't necessarily play as just like this amazing level of competition. But then okay. He goes to the Senior Bowl and locked down every receiver at the Senior Bowl. You know, you know, those guys are from all over the country, different positions, stuff like that. So it's like, if there's any concern, that would be it. It's just that he hasn't seen on a regular basis that top tier competition. You know what I mean? But nothing really, like, other than that, doesn't really like bother me. Like, so yeah, I mean, I'd probably, like you, I'd probably still stay at edge with one of those three guys, you know, whichever one, like I said, whichever one, they've done more, they've interviewed, they've done film work, they've watched the guy, they've taught them. I mean, like, they know more than we're ever going to know. So whoever they feel like they can get the most out of, who's going to fit the defense the best, I got no problem with it. That's what they're going to do, you know. And but it's, you just want to see, it's, we're just lucky this year that like BPA kind of lines up with what we need. You know what I mean? Like, because we need a receiver, we need a defensive edge, you know, an edge rusher, we need a cornerback. Well, those are all really good deep positions in this draft. So, like, perfectly lined up for us to not be an idiot about it. And Jay said, how many draft picks do we need to hit on to have a successful season? So we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 picks. I don't know that it all hinges on necessarily the draft picks, but I think you got like those early round picks, they need to hit.
That's what I said. The first two picks got to do, yeah.
Because you're expecting, you're clearly with the eighth pick, you're expecting a day one contributor, right? Like from the start. He's a starter. He's going to contribute, whether it's pass rusher, whether it's cornerback. Even with the 43rd pick, if it's receiver, he's going to be on the field. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If it's a corner, he's going to be on the field. So those two guys you got to hit on. Round three, you hope to hit, because like that's where it's getting like a little fuzzy. You may go again, you may double dip, you may go defensive tackle, you could go offensive tackle, could be a, like we talked about earlier with JR, could be a quarterback. But after that, when you get to the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds, and even seventh, we don't have a seventh round pick, but when you get that deep in the draft, you've done as much film work as you can, and you just hope to God, like, it's going to hit. Like, you know, Tyler Allgeier, fifth round pick, you know what I mean? Like, so it's, you have to get,
but that's more your talent at that point. In like the later drafts, it's like your talent instead of the players. So that falls on you a little bit. But I will quote this to the day I die. Johnny Yates, if you can pick talent, you can pick it in a later round.
Yeah, and if you want to go, I mean, if they hit on the guys in late rounds, it's just kind of like you win a lottery almost, because it's the guy. If you look at I forgot what the percentage is, I have to look it up. But if you look at the guys that are drafted, I think from the fourth round on, how many years they stay in the league, it's not a lot. It's not. Yeah. I mean, you're lucky if you get guys that are going to be contributors to your team. Period. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about sixth and seventh rounds, so like that's what makes last year with DeMarco Hellams just like a steal, because you found him in the seventh round, and the man played meaningful snaps on defense. I mean, and special teams, but he played meaningful snaps on defense as well. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely edge at eight, and but I'm not, like I said, if they decide to go corner, then that means they got a ton of faith in whether that corner is Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, who I guess is 1A, 1B. Either one, like, okay, I'm with you, that's fine, but you better grab that edge pretty quickly in round two. You know what I mean? So, because I don't want to, again, I don't want like just a rotation of
Yeah.
Guys, you know, Honda, I mean,
all right. Love, yeah, yeah.
I want that alpha dude. I want that alpha dude. You Fix know, but flat. Yeah, exactly. John said linebacker from the NCS. So he's from
he's a linebacker. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So like a lower rounds, like a lower school, basically. Kind of like, you know, like Troy came from Montana, who was again not like the best of talented guys in the world, but you know, Miss Pam, what's going on?
Miss Pam, Miss Pam, what's going on? Max Pam, Dirty, what up?
Brian, what's going on?
And not the gas station. I agree with John. I think you take the best player available, but on defense. That should be the one little caveat. But on defense, Bod. Yeah.
Exactly. And John Harris said Turner is first, 1A, and then 1B, Latu, Robinson, 3. Yeah, I'm about with you on that one, too. Chop Robinson, yeah, out of Penn State. And it's funny, while we were on the show, I ran just a little mock draft in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, we picked the number 8 with this mock draft. Freaking Roma Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm going to tell you, that would be on par with what's – we usually do, but I got faith in Trey.
And then Dallas went to Chicago with the 9th pick. I don't even see, man, where did he go?
Byron, you got to grab Dwayne Carter too, just because. Freeman said that.
Dude, Latu in this draft, Latu didn't go to until the 23rd pick to Minnesota, and then Minnesota traded and got Michael Penix with the 25th
pick. Okay.
And this one. Joe Alt didn't go. This mock draft is garbage. This is never going to happen. Yeah. Joe Alt went number 14 to the.
Some of them be so off, bro. I'd be like, bro, this is like, yeah. Some of them be crazy.
Yeah. No, it is crazy. And Tyreek's the trade back. Let's load up on picks. Yeah, man. We went through a few of those scenarios earlier in the show, and it's. I hope that scenario presents itself. I hope some team is like, hey man, we want to give you a ransom to get this guy, you know, and like, hey, I'm listening at that point, but if not, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to miss out on taking my guy, man.
BP station, yeah, and that's a good nickname.
Yeah
ASCB2 safety,
safety and your wide receivers, right? And the wide receiver probably behind safety for me, because you do have a pretty decent wide receiver core. You got to upgrade.
Johnny Yates, man. So I got to ask you something. If we draft a cornerback, is Clark going to be deflated?
I don't think so.
His role is slot?
No, hell no. I think his personality is like, all right, fine. I'm going to work even harder.
Let's go harder. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's got that type of play.
I love that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's
my next jersey.
He's been a smaller guy his entire, you know, like he's always had that.
He got a chip.
Always.
He's aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Dave said, you know, from Talkaholic, it's one of his guys. Obviously, I know it's one of your guys. You called him early on in the draft last year, so it's like, I think he'd be just fine. And if anything, man, that just up his game, man. Up his game to compete harder. And then if he's playing in the slot with Alfred, I'm down with that, man. Matt Townsend versus his guy, and I'm down with that too, man.
Larry said my number one QB is there. He said Q Mitchell too from Toledo over both Bama QBs. I'm not worried about his small school experience, but what if we move back to 15 and Dallas versus Alatu are off the board? That's why we said you need a group of people if you move back. So you can't miss. It need to be 3 or 4 people that you like. If we move back, I would take all 3 of these, because you can't just hinge that on one person and miss. You'll be pissed.
If you move back to 15 and those 3 guys are gone, I think that's when that Byron Murphy comes into conversation, if he's even still there at that point. But yeah, I think that's when you think about you're taking, and again, what we talked about, the best defensive player on the board, whether you think it's a D tackle, an edge, or a corner, that's what you're gonna do at that point. I can't see
it. I gotta check Mitchell out now. Shit, all y'all saying he's good.
He's good, dude. He's good, man. He's good.
BP said, I think Clark fine. I heard Alpha maybe playing some safety. He'll be good at safety.
Yeah, he might. Because like I said, I mean, I don't know how much – I mean, I don't know how long are they going to give – Richie's in the contract season. So, you know, he didn't really – he's improved a little bit. Then it just stayed here. Like, there wasn't like a steady climb. It just kind of plateaued. You know what I mean? So
you think he hit a ceiling, John?
From what we've seen so far, I mean, because some of the stuff we've seen is not really – it's mentally
related. It's bonehead, really
physically related. So you're like, dude, like, how many times you seen this before you're going to get it? You know, like, just simple stuff, you know. So I hope he gets it right. Because like I said, man, like I was like the dude's champion for a long time.
John, that was John's guy, man. For John to break that down to get to this point, it was a long road, man.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, he came again from Central Florida. He was a player. He was a dude at Central Florida. So you're like, oh, he could be a guy. And then you know, that's just it. You get to the league and you don't know. It could be the wrong system. It could be just him not grasping it quick enough. Whatever, man. I hope the guy, I mean, I hope he still works out. I just don't know how long they're gonna give him, you know, how long that leash is, you know, if they're gonna try to go to enjoy the draft or you know, a free agency or something like that.
So Larry said, my pick on the Rise Up Content Creators video train was Jared Verse, FSU edge rusher, a dog against the run or pass. That's what we need. You got to be able to do both.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not none of them are terrible in coverage. Like they're all like, you know, like we said, you know, Turner is the best athlete of all of them, you know, but and so he's the lightest one too, but he can get out in coverage no problem if you have to have him out in coverage.
Ain't that crazy, John, that they got to play coverage now?
Yeah.
Bro, Mike Dicker wouldn't understand what was going on right now, man. Like, there's no what?
Go get the quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's where we're at, man. So just like what JR said, I doubt we're going to do a show on Tuesday, barring something just crazy coming down. Like we make a trade prior to the draft or something like that. I don't think there's any need for us to do one Tuesday because we'll be here for what, 4 hours, 3 or 4 hours on Thursday night. So, you know, y'all have to come by.
But it'll be fun, y'all, because if y'all seen it last year, man, hold on, Damski coming, right?
Yep, Damski could be here.
Damski coming. We got new. Yeah, we had a blast last year, and we got all our faces when we drafted Bijan. That clip was epic. Like it was.
We were one of the few groups that were like happy about it.
Yeah, we was all like, so we had Fleet. That was an amazing time. So y'all got to come up. The draft will be boring if you don't watch it with your guys. So
that's right, man.
I would suggest instead of just watching it on TV that you watch with all of us. It don't even got to be us. You just got to watch it with your favorite content creator because it's way more fun like that. Trust me.
Yeah, put
we'll talk to the slot receiver. Big John getting spicy. Hold on. You saying cover the slot receiver. Hold on. I was getting ready to say, damn, John. Yeah. Clark will be he is a great slot. Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll, like you said though, yeah, put the draft on the TV. We just put it on mute. And then
yeah, just you stick it on mute and then you watch it with us.
Yep.
Miss Pam said one thing for sure. This draft class is very deep in wide receiver group. How do Miss Pam know that? See, that's why I love Miss Pam, because you shouldn't know that.
Because she knows.
I love you because I don't even know that. Mactown Dirty is Anderson going to eight. That would be crazy. That would be crazy. Like,
that's one thing, man. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with him. Yeah, because like I'm, you know,
the Swiss Army knife.
You had the you saw what Nielsen's kind of vision for him was as far as like in that defense, but this is a different defense. So
yeah. I mean,
it's going to be, but his versatility, I think, is going to do him wonders.
That's the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, because that's kind of Raheem Morris's defense in general, but especially in LA, like he runs so many simulated pressures or if you want to call it zone blitzes where you don't know where the pressure's coming from. So when you get a guy like that who you have to account for, whether it's going to be coming through at the middle. And that's why, again, edges to me is so important because that's just one more threat that you got to worry about. I mean, and like if you've got some kind of mediocre dudes, like, okay.
Yeah.
If you got multiple guys who could make it to the quarterback from
you don't know where it's coming from.
From every level, you know, if you're gonna have DeMarco, if you're gonna have Helms out there blitzing, or you know, even Richie. Right. I mean, this is you have a lot of potential. So I can't
Malone.
Maybe if he who knows?
Come on, Malone. Miss Pam said I always say trade back and get some more people. We may be able to do that this draft, Miss Pam.
Yeah,
make all of us happy.
That'd be ideal. If you can trade back a few and get your guy and pick up, I mean, absolutely. I'm all for it. Yeah, you are happy.
Bijan
early.
Yeah, she did. She was one of the first ones calling Bijan. Defensive back is D2. We need one to go across from AJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Brand is good, close to the line, bad in cover. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He just, when it gets the coverage, it's just like it's too much.
I don't know what that is. Yeah, it's just mental.
Yeah, it is. But, well, buddy, do you want to do any game today? I mean, I didn't plan one, but if you want to do one, we can. We got about 10 minutes.
I say we do underrated, overrated real quick.
You start off, buddy. And if y'all have any underrated underrators in the chat, man, throw them in there.
I'll do one because here's why I did think of this. I'm going to creep y'all out, but I don't mean to. A whole lot of people think that when an older person is talking to a person who's like younger, especially if it's the opposite gender, it's automatically creepy. Like, you got to be doing a pervert, or you got, but you help the world when you do stuff like that. When you can encourage people who are like younger than you, these people need encouragement. Cause we had people who was our age, right? When like we growing up, now I'm from the hood, and it was still two or three people that tell you that you could be anything you want to be if you put your mind to. They don't get that at all. All they get is you can't be, and you, it's hard out here, and that's all they get. So you should take your time out to talk to them and to tell them that you could be what you want to be, man. You keep working hard. You got to, because they need guidance. And a whole lot of time, these people got shitty parents who all into they self. The parents have their own Instagram, and they try to be famous. So they don't have the time to try to help. So you got to take time out. You got to make that a part of your thing. You got to take time out to encourage the younger people. And it's been my favorite part of being on Out of Your Falcon Mind, is that my group, if you go to my TikTok, it's way younger people. And the interaction with them, to me, is priceless, because I get to help them in a way that I never dreamed that I would be able to do. And they listen to me for some odd reason. I have no idea. I have no idea why they listen to me, but they listen to me. It's the weirdest thing, but they all listen to me, and I'm able to be a positive influence on them. But they are also a positive influence on me. Dog, they help me. Dog, they have changed my life. I talk to them. Hey, can you repost it? I hopped up in the morning, and we had gained like 150 subscribers overnight from them, just from them saying, hey, I repost. Yeah. And they encourage me so much. So we trade that stuff, and it's not perverted. It's not, I'm not trying to have sex with any of them, and them girls ain't trying to have sex with me. It ain't nothing like that. So we all have to stop that. If we talking to a teenager or somebody that's younger, we have to stop thinking, oh, well, you have not. I heard people tell me this. How can you have stuff in common with people that's 19 and 20? And I'm like, dog, I got stuff in common with Liam. Right. I got shit in common with, like, I could sit there for him and talk to him for 3 hours. Dog, have you ever had, I asked him the last time I seen him, the first thing I asked him, dog, if you had to have a hamburger, what's the best hamburger you ever had and why? And he got to talking to, you got stuff in common with younger people, dog. You, it don't got to be perverted or perverse. It don't got to be sexual, but we got to stop that. And we got to, because that's, it's a stupid barrier. And we need to encourage them, because they don't get it from nowhere else. They don't get what we got there. You could be anything you want to be. They never hear that. So you got to keep telling them to keep going. And you got to steer them the right way when they ask you for advice. When they ask you for advice, you can't say what you would do. You can't. You got to think of what's the best thing to tell them to do. So even I don't answer truthfully. I hope they listen to this. I tell them what I think is the best thing of the advice I should be given. But I just wanted to say that, because they changed my life. And I'll be honest, I would never tell y'all the stories, but I've changed many of their lives, like personally, just being able to change their life. And that's my favorite part of Out of Your Falcon Mind, is when I got screenshots on my phone from long things that people sent me that mean more to me than anything we've done on this show so far. That is my favorite part of the show. And I owe them younger people the world. I owe them the world. So I love younger people. That the way they dress, they creative, they're awesome, man. So instead of judging them, and because you don't like their music, or we all got stuff in common. So stop saying, because I'm grown and they're younger, what could we possibly have in common if I wasn't trying to be a pervert? It's not always that. We can be friends with anybody. You could be 9, 10 and be friends with a grown up, as long as you not crossing no boundary, and you know what I mean by that. But I just wanted to say that, because I thought they changed my life, and I owe a lot of our success to them.
Well, that's great, dude. And there's two things on that. So I know why they listen to you, because and I'll brag on you, because you're successful. I mean, you know where you've, they know, I mean, they may not know, but I mean, you know where you came from, and mm-hmm. this is what you came up to. And mm-hmm. I mean, you're a good person. You're successful at what you do. You've seen a lot of things. You've had a lot of experiences. So you may not be telling them exactly like necessarily what you would have done then, but you may be telling them experiences you've had and been like, hey, look, yep. I've done this before. You don't want to go down this road.
I mean, all the time.
So like, you know, thank or you, whatever, you know. So that's the same thing, but that's great, buddy. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. We gotta say what's up to MW, man. He's showing in the house. What's
MW, up? That's the Hall of Famer right there, man.
That's right. All right, man. Quick underrated for me, man. And I want to come off weird, but like minding your own business sometimes is a little underrated.
I already know this is gonna be good. I don't even know where this is going.
Dude, we've had some random comments on videos, right? And it's like normally from the same, it's like same one or two people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's they're really concerned with the language that we use when Liam is around.
Okay.
And like number one, like that's one thing. If you're a parent, like you don't want anybody telling you necessarily like how to be a parent, right? That's one thing that'll piss parents off like in a heartbeat. Like, man, don't tell me how to parent my kid, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, number one, man, I'm not concerned with that. You know, like we've all been that age, right? I don't know about you, Mike, but I was using that with my friends at that age and before that age.
I was before, way before.
So, you listen to music growing up, it's in it. Like you, like it's the real world. Like it's going to be out there. Like, so, and I've always told him from day one, like, and he knows this, like he's not an idiot. Like he knows when he can say those words with his friends and stuff like that. He knows when not to say those words. He knows this when it's disrespectful or, you know, not to be around adult, stuff like that. I'm far more concerned on, are you a good person? Are you nice to people? Are you treating people the right way? Mm-hmm. Are you putting all your effort into your grades? Are you giving your team 100% when you go play baseball or whatever you're going to do? That's more what I'm concerned with as a parent. I'm not caring. I don't give a damn. As you can see, what words he's using when he's with his friends or playing Fortnite or playing baseball or on the practice field or talking to me when we're talking about the games or something, like something slips, man, I don't care. Like, give me a break, man. Like that's one of the most respectful kids, not just because it's mine.
And he is. Most
respectful kids that I've ever met. And that goes to not just me and his mom, but the folks that's been around you yourself. Yep. Folks been around him since day one.
Yep.
That he's seen as role models and people to respect. So yeah, y'all just chill on that. So if y'all see other future videos or because he'll be on live with us on Thursday. He's gonna pop in there on the draft. So there may be some words, but don't y'all freak out. He's gonna be just fine. He's not gonna run off in the corner crying or anything like that. So
he gets amazing grades, he's amazing at his sports, and his character is for being a kid is unreal. He got the same tier that me and John are on as a child. I was a scumbag child. Do you understand? So it took me a long time to get here. He's already there. So you can't question the parenting. He got an amazing mom and an amazing dad, and you can see it in action. So you can't question the results. The results speak for themselves. And your kid may not curse, but maybe an awful human being. So you can't measure those two. So I got one last one. I'm going to go underrated. Me and Johnny Yates. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this. Me and Johnny Yates, underrated. A person wrote me this, and I agree with the person. The person said, dog, I think it's great how you and John do different things, but it comes together so seamlessly like that. I'm going to tell y'all this. I trust John so much, I don't log into Twitter. I rarely even check the page. John, he could be cursing up a storm. I don't even check. I trust John so much that whatever John chooses to do, when he do a video, he don't run it past me. I know John is on deck. I know he's on par. I trust my partner. John do the same shit. Half the shit I make don't got nothing to do with the podcast. John trusts me with it, you know? So I go, and I never go off the rails. I got a fine line, even though it seems like I'm wild. I'm thinking about the line for certain things that I won't cross for certain things. So I just think that the trust that me and John have is unparalleled, and we don't try to do what the other one does. I don't want a part of what he's doing. He don't cross into my lane or what I'm doing, but we bring it together, and that's what it seems awesome. I let him do what he's amazing at. He let me do what I'm amazing at, and then we come together sometimes and do what we amazing at. And we haven't argued over this one time. We haven't had one disagreement. We haven't had one beef. We haven't had one time in the years we've been doing this show where it was any type of problem of that sort where we didn't agree. And I trust my man. Whatever John want to do, I'm backing him 100%. If John chose, and I'm not being funny when I say this, if John wanted to do a shirt that was a gay shirt for Atlanta, I'm totally on board with that. I think it's a great idea, man. I'm not having no reject. That's what my brother said he want to do, and I think it's a good idea. When he said Alzheimer's, that's a great idea. But John does that. He give me that same respect. Hey, I'm going to do this. John be like, go do that shit. That sounds like a good idea to me. And the trust we have with each other with anything, with the whole thing. I don't critique what John does. I trust him completely. He can go whatever direction he wants. And me and John do not have to meet about things and talk about them. And we don't have to run it past each other. We don't got to verify. John is amazing at what John does on his end with me not attached. With me not attached, he's successful at what he do. I don't know if we passed it or not. That 2,000 Twitter followers, I did not have anything to do with that. That's John did that shit by himself. I did not. I'm probably responsible for three of those people. I swear to God, like I did not. He did that on his own. So yeah, that was him. He would be successful without me. The thing about the TikTok, I did that on my own. The thing about the show, we did that together. So what I'm saying is, he's amazing at what he does. He don't need my verification. He don't need my input. He don't need my approval. He's obviously successful at it. And the same here. So I just wanted to give me and John our first underrated. because I kind of thought it was dope. Because I just know whenever it's a partnership, people start arguing and they don't agree with certain things. And they get the beefing and all. And we haven't had one disagreement in the 2 years that we've been doing the show. And I think I said that on the very first show, the second show, that's my brother in real life. So the show would never get in the way of our friendship. I would throw the show in the trash before that ever happened. I would throw the show before I would ever throw John. I would beef with the show before I would ever beef with John. And you see that play out. And that's why we get along so well. And that's why it's so successful. Two very different people, but who are very similar.
Yep.
Me and John got more in common than we have that differs us. So you kind of see that play out. And I always thought that was dope that we never argue over it. He do his thing individually. I do my thing individually. But we come together like peanut butter and jelly. And everybody likes peanut butter and jelly. Everybody. So that was my last one. I just wanted to say. Johnny Yates, cheers to you, buddy.
Oh, you too, buddy. I love it. And that's, you know, it's – you could even say just in – you could wrap that up with basically saying underrated is trust and being honest. But mm-hmm. that's what it boils down to. Because like we know we can tell each other anything, like mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter. And mm-hmm. we said before, if y'all could see our text,
man.
Y'all would see how we'd be canceled, number one, but y'all would see how much we are really alike when you see like what we're thinking.
Even in business.
Exactly. Even in business, which we've had some good ones on this week.
Yeah.
But no, man, and it's, you know, it kind of boils down to as well. Like, I mean, I know, like you said, you know what you're good at. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm good at, and I'm not trying to do what you do because mm-hmm. it would just be obvious, and it wouldn't be any good. So, like,
same here.
So it just makes sense, man. But yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, we've had so many folks tell us that over like the course mm-hmm. of the show is like, man, how do y'all make that work? Y'all are so different. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we are, but y'all don't understand how similar we are. And I mean, that's what it gets to. So, mm-hmm. it's a good problem. And that's not even a problem to have. It's just a good thing to have, like when you're doing a show. Mm-hmm. And we do zero prep. If y'all want to be honest, like we don't talk before the shows. Like no. I have my show sheet. Like I have like, okay, what we're going to talk about on the show mm-hmm. and try to keep it. But as far as like, we don't talk. Like we hop on and we go because we just think the spontaneity of it's probably, it ends up better.
I joined the show. John, to tell you, I joined the show about like seconds before we go live every single show. I come in at the last possible minute. I don't greet the guests. I do no preparation. I come in with like seconds before the show go live.
It's enough.
I scare him half to death every single show if I'm gonna show up or not.
No, I know when you're gonna show up. It doesn't scare me at all because I know it's gonna be unless you told me like, hey, I'm running late. I know you're gonna be there.
Yeah,
it's enough time for to be like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? You all right? Cool. You ready to go live? All right, let's go.
Yep.
We hit the live button and ready to go. So I mean, it works, man. So hey, last question, we'll get out of here. Matt Town said, Murphy, is he worth it? Or are they screaming his name because situation with Devondre?
Mm.
All right. So y'all saw, or Matt, did you see the situation with Devondre Sweat? He got the DUI, or I think it was DUI. He was in the accident. Yeah. I don't think it was his fault. I think it was actually the other person's fault, but he was also over the limit. So he got, of course, two different players. Sweat's going to be your definitely your one tech over the nose, big guy in a 3-4 type of offense or defense. And then Murphy, clearly, you know, he's more your Grady Jarrett on your mono type of guy. So, but no, as I don't think he's worth it at 8. You know, I think if you want him, you move back, you take him down the right, down the road. But if it's him, and I've seen people say he's better than all three edges at his position, like he's, you know, it's all over the board, dude. Like, it really is. Like, I'm going to trust their scouts and trust their coaches. If that's what they think, all right, fine. But I mean, me personally, just looking at it as a fan and just going off what I've seen on film and what I've seen on them play, yeah, I'm still going edge. But I'm not gonna be mad. I'm just saying that would be it. But you know, buddy, that was a good Saturday show, man.
Good Saturday show.
Shout out to JR for coming through pound for pound, man. Make sure y'all check them out.
And shout out to Lowe. He did join, but he lost signal. He was out and about, but thank you for trying.
Yeah, he texted me, man. He had, so we'll get Lowe on soon, probably anyway, to just talk about stuff. But again, man, make sure y'all check out the videos we dropped today. Again, it's hashtag RiseUp content creators, and you can see all of the creators' videos that we did, just kind of making our case. We're the only ones who did a second round pick. So everybody else did who they wanted in the first round. We said who we're gonna want in the second round. That might be because I misunderstood the directions that Lowe set out, but it doesn't matter because I made the video and then I asked Lowe if it was okay if we did a second round pick. And he was like, yeah, that's fine. But they were all fun, man. Everybody did a hell of a really good job with it. So it was fun to do that. So if y'all are here, man, hit the like button for us, man. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already for the channel so we can keep growing, man. And same thing with the video we just put out. If y'all are listening to us on any of the Spotify, iTunes, whatever platform you're listening to it, if you can leave us a review, feel free, hit the like button. Leave us a 5-star review, whatever that is, whatever you can do there helps us just again grow on those platforms. So we just surpassed, buddy, I think 17,000 listens on the audio platforms.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the folks are still listening, so that's a good thing too, man.
I'm coming for you, Joe Rogan. We right on your heels, buddy.
That's how we started, was just purely listening, like on the audio contract. So you know, it's good to see that still growing. But y'all can email us atlfalconfancast@gmail.com. Email us anything you want, football related, Falcons related. Want to ask us questions, we'll answer it on air as long as they're not crazy. That's it, man. So we will catch y'all Thursday night for the draft. Again, 7:45, I believe, is what JR said we're going to be on. So it'll be about 15 minutes before the draft. We'll all get on there. Again, us, pound for pound, Damski, Savion, Fleek. If Trayshon can come through, he's going to come through. I don't know if Hunter's coming through or not, but hopefully as many guys as we'll get. It'll be a good section of us on there, man, just talking about the draft. And it's going to be a fun night, man. So just hang and come chill out with us and have fun. Mike, you got anything left, buddy? You good?
No, I just want to encourage everybody to, man, make an event of it, because it's boring. Like, man, grab a beer and some food and 7:45, because we probably have a beer and some food. So I'm going to grab a drink. I'm going to grab some food, and we're going to hang out with the boys for a few hours. If y'all was there last year, it's a great thing. So just instead of just watching it live, come join the boys and have a party. It's gonna be a party. It isn't just a show. We have a kind of a party. So grab a beer and grab some food, and we're gonna have a blast on Thursday. Trust me. Be there.
Yep. And it'll be me and Kane here. Amanda and Liam will be at practice. So it'll be, hopefully Kane will be on good behavior. If not, he'll be on the show with us. And then
I'll have Biscuit in his jersey. He'll be with me out of town, but he'll be in his jersey. He'll be watching the draft with me. Miss Pam going to the Benz. Yes.
Love it.
Or go to the Benz. If you got Benz to go to the Benz, then you throw this show in the trash. But if you don't go to the Benz, then you watch our show. But absolutely, the Benz is going to be, that'll be dope.
Yep. So anyway, thank y'all guys again for a random show on a Saturday when we put out an hour before we were going to go live. We had, I think, close to 90 people in here at one point between Twitter and YouTube. Thank y'all, man. It means a lot. We really appreciate that. And we always enjoy talking Falcons with you. So when y'all come back, get in the chat, man. Say what's up. Talk, have some questions. Give your comments, man. We'll do the best we can to get to all of them, because that's the reason why we do the show, man. So we appreciate you guys. Mike, take us out, brother.
Out of your Falcon mind. Peace.